4th of July, otherwise known as Independence Day. Do you know how old we are? Anyone? Ooh, you're off by a little bit, no? 248, isn't it? Maybe I did my math wrong. Who's got a calculator? 248. Do you know when 4th of July became a national holiday? Okay, 1776, we became a nation. Don't you think we started celebrating in 1777? 1800s. Late 1800s. What was it? 1941 is when we became, this became a national holiday, all right? Kind of intriguing to me, kind of the history involved and so forth. And then along with the history, I thought, well, you know, last week it was fun to honor Jim Geiger with a couple of jokes, and I looked through some stuff about 4th of July, and I heard a couple stories and things, and so here we go. What's the difference between George Washington and a duck? One has a bill on its face, the other one has its face on a bill. Okay. Or a true story that I read about a kindergarten teacher who was teaching her class about holidays and about celebrations and what 4th of July meant, and she kept stressing much of what you've heard today about the fact that Independence Day is a day that we remember that we are free. And that we want to celebrate on the 4th of July that we are free. And it's an amazing thing that all of us in this country are free, until one of her students raised her hands and said, "Mrs. Smith, I'm not free, I'm four." Again, you know, we remember this whole idea of independence and the idea that we live in a nation where we sacrifice for that freedom. We live in a nation where we hope and we pray, much like we've sung, that we are an honorable nation. We have people who serve our country, and they serve because of honor and because of, again, that fight for freedom. We want to be, quote-unquote, well-governed. The question I have for you, as we remember these words, for the people and by the people, is that all there is? That we are governed for the people, by the people. Well, if you think about it, it sounds awful selfish that we are governed for the people. And we live in a country, I believe, right now where there are a lot of people who want something out of the government. A lot of people who want something for nothing. And it's really, really burdened our country. The mentality that, again, yeah, we were established for the people, so give me lots. But at the same token, we say we're established by the people. But really, when you look at our voting system and the way that we vote and the representative system and the electoral, and if we look at why people become leaders within this country, it sure doesn't seem like the people are really governing this country. So my question is, who is governing? Or more specifically, for the people, by the people, where is God in this equation? If you turn to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. It's a section that's entitled Prayer for the Ephesians, where it says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And then a famous blessing that says, "And now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen." Who is governing our country? Where is God in our country? I could stand up here and I could preach about that. But it's one of those things that we can keep out here at an arm's length. I'd also like to ask a more pertinent question, and that is, where is God in us? Who is leading our lives? Who is governing our soul? Who is governing our families, our way of living, our way of working, our way of raising families? For the people, by the people, for me, by me. Where is God in that equation? Because if God is absent within our lives, and if God is absent within our families, then God will surely be absent within our country. And so this morning, I really just want to ask five questions that you're going to need to find answers for. First of all, who is the commander in chief? Now, we're going to have a little bit of government history or current government issues here, just because I thought it would keep you awake. Who's the commander in chief right now? Some of you had a hard time saying that, didn't you? In our governmental structure, Barack Obama is the commander-in-chief. And yet when we read in this passage here from Ephesians, what we hear is this: "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name." The Father of all. God Almighty, the commander and chief, the one who has been in the past, the one who is in the present, and the one who will be in the future, God Almighty, Yahweh, as we talked about a few weeks ago, a living God in Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, that is the commander in chief. And when we look at our country and we look at its future, the question needs to be asked, is God still the commander-in-chief of our country? But again, in order to get there, I truly need to believe that who is the commander-in-chief of our personal lives and of our families? Who is it that's in charge? When we look at our family, when we look at our children, when we look at our schools, when we look at our neighborhoods, who is in charge? It isn't Barack Obama. It is God Almighty, the one whose family derives its name in heaven and on earth, in the past, in the present, in the future. God Almighty is the commander in chief. When I thought about baptism, I had to admit, I sat and I thought, and I wondered, you know, Brian, who is the commander in chief of your family? And I thought, definitely Megan, not you. All right, good, good. You agree with that. But as you give that child, Alex, over to God, and for those of you, us who have walked before you, you realize in many ways as he grows that you can try and control all you want, and you can try to be the commander-in-chief all you want, but eventually they grow. And today you said, we're not the commander-in-chief, as hard as it is. But God is the commander-in-chief. And we all need to understand that as we live our lives. And so the first question is, who's the commander-in-chief of our nation, and who is the commander-in-chief of your life? The second one is this: who controls the Treasury Department? Okay, current historical test question. Who's in charge of the Treasury? Anybody? Lou, I heard it. Jacob Lou controls the treasury. Wrong. What does it say in this passage? Out of his glorious riches may he strengthen you with power through the Spirit. God is the one who controls the riches within our lives. God is the one who brings wealth into our lives. We are truly mixed up and we are truly conflicted people because we look to the bank vault for our treasury department. We look at something that is overflowing in a way of whether or not the stock market is above 17,000 or whether or not it's crashed below 14 or 8 again. We live our lives centered around something that is so fleeting and so passing. And where do the riches of God go? Where does the glory of God go? The one who controls the treasury department is again God. Not only is he the commander-in-chief, but he is the treasury department. It's out of his riches. When we look to God's vault, when we look to Christ's bank account, it is overflowing, it is bottomless when it comes to the grace and the love that can change and transform our lives. And yet we get lost. And we think that Jacob Lew is going to make some decision that will help the Treasury Department, that will help our banking account, and that will help us in the long run. Folks, it all goes away. And the true treasure is that which God offers us in Christ Jesus. God truly does control the treasury. Now, some of you know that Joey has been playing a lot of soccer throughout his life. And part of that addiction, you know, the World Cup is going on right now. And some of you like soccer, some of you don't, I understand. But it's been a big part of our life over the last few weeks, and we've tried to see as many games as we can, but we don't have cable. And so we go, you know, bug our neighbor, we beg our way into their house, all right, and we watch the World Cup. But, you know, there's every now and then you need a break, right? And so you flip channels. Well, when you have cable, you have 7 million channels to flip through, all right? And there was a show on, and I started watching it, and maybe you've seen it, but Alaskan Bush People. Anybody? Yeah? Whack jobs, all right? Whack jobs, all right? 9 people living in the middle of nowhere, going from place to place. Their kids haven't been in school. Their one kid looks like something out of the Addams Family. I'm not really sure, all right? But in our mind, these people are whack jobs. They don't have a job. They don't have a bank account. They don't have a cell phone. They don't have this. They don't have that. Maybe they've got it right. Because we think that our riches come from things of this earth, and God controls the Treasury Department, not us. Who's your commander in chief? Who is it that controls the Treasury Department in your life? Again, next question. Who regulates the energy department? Anyone? Energy department. Oh, no. Fred, he's just got a famous niece. That's all there is to that. But Ernest Moynez, head of the energy department. Who strengthens you? Who strengthens you? Again, as you read very clearly, he wants to strengthen us with the power of the Spirit in our inner being. Strengthens us. Where do you find your strength? God wants to give us power. God wants to give us might. God wants to give us victory. And yet so often, we don't let him regulate our energy department. We don't let him regulate our power. I think about it a lot. People get upset this time of year because if you go around town, you see places where power lines are being freed up from trees. And people are really upset because people are whacking trees left and right. And the next thing you know, there's either a really goofy looking tree that's only going one way, or they've cut down a million trees and people are upset. But when the power goes out, we get freaked out. Because if we don't have power, we don't know what to do. And yet in our spiritual lives, we let all sorts of trees grow up. We let all sorts of things get in the way of the power lines of God affecting and changing our lives. We let things in this world, we let things in our mind, we let things all over the place just grow up and block that line. And yet it's clear that God says, I want to be the one who strengthens you. I want to be the one that when the roof caves in, I'm there. When, as an old hymn says, when the days are dreary and the long nights weary, I'm there. When the doctor says cancer, I'm there. When I leave for the Marines, I'm there. When I think, what am I doing raising a baby? God's there. God wants to be the energy department in your life. And so again this morning, who is it that runs that energy department in your life? Who is it that runs that energy, that, again, powerful life within our government? Because it's God who wants that position. Commander-in-chief, head of the Treasury, head of the energy department. And what about who organizes the Department of Interior? Anybody? Department of Interior? Sally Jewell is her name right now. Sally Jewell. Old-time Christians, they were called mystics, many of them. The reason they were called mystics is because they said the key to a good life here on earth, a meaningful life here on earth, was to have a healthy inner life. They were mystics because many of them were like monks, or many of them were the people who secluded themselves and tried to find that inner strength. We as a country, we spend thousands upon thousands of dollars on our outer self. Whether it be cosmetics or cosmetic surgery, whether it be athletic clothes or good clothes to look good in, or whether it be a nice house or a boat or all sorts of stuff, we spend a fortune trying to look good on the outside, and inside, many of us are dying. We neglect cultivating the inner being. God wants to be the one to pump up our inner being. God wants to be the one who can use that energy department and strengthen us from within. But again, we get lost. And we get sucked into what the world has to say. And we get sucked into, again, the cover of this magazine or this movie or this clip. When the truth of it is, the mystics had it right. That it says here that he wants to strengthen us in our inner being. That the Holy Spirit would dwell with us from within. And in that we would find out that commander-in-chief. We would find out that treasury head. We would find out that energy. We would have an interior department that was healthy and strong. Does God rule your innermost being? Does God rule the innermost meanings of this country? The political moves of this country? Is God the one who is in charge of our interior department? It's hugely important. I can remember being a very young child and beginning that journey of independence. And the thing that brought independence was my bicycle. Because once I could ride a bike, then I could go from block to block. And I could slowly expand my radius. and I became more and more independent. But along with having a bike meant that I needed to take care of it. And my father tried to teach me the best he could, and yet was busy on his own, and I was on my own. And so, you know, you learn things as you go. And I learned a very valuable lesson about the power of inner strength. And I learned it via an air pump. An air pump that I rode down to when there still were filling stations, even in my time, all right? Down the corner of our block, little thing, brick, a couple of pumps, you know, but they had one of those good old-time air compressors. And so I decided I was not only going to fill up my tire, but I was going to fill up my tire in a way in which I probably wouldn't have to refill it for the whole summer. Problem is that after you get so far, that thing blew up like you could not believe. It sounded like a bomb went off. I still think my ears are ringing from that experience, all right? But all of a sudden, that inner power exploded. It overwhelmed everything else. Does our inner power, does our inner strength affect all that we do in our lives? So often, we don't think about it. And yet God wants to be the head of our interior department. And finally, who prioritizes the housing department? Anybody know who's in charge of the housing department in the Obama administration? A good Irishman, Sean Donovan. He's been there since 2009. Christ wants to dwell within our hearts. That's the prayer that Paul offers up. In other words, the way we've said it this morning, Paul says he wants to be our commander-in-chief. He wants to control our treasury department. He wants to regulate and give us energy. He wants to live within us every moment, every way. He wants to dwell within us. If you look at the Greek word here used to say dwell, in the Greek what it means is this: to settle and to be at home. When you look at your life, is Christ welcome? When you look at your life, is Christ able to sit down in a lazy boy chair within your life and go, wow, this is good? When you look at your life, is Christ dwelling there at home with his feet up in front of the fireplace saying, this is where I belong? They love me, they welcome me, they honor me. I am their commander-in-chief. They do appreciate my treasury advice. They do want my energy. They let me inside every morning and every evening. Wow, this is a great place to live. When we look at our lives, is that the way Christ sees it? Or when he looks, he sees that we don't really have time for him. When he looks, he sees that really the world wins and we let the world win. When he looks, he says, wow, I don't really feel comfortable here because this goes against what I've been teaching, what I lived for, and what I died for. And instead of feeling comfortable, Christ is pacing back and forth, knocking on the door, trying to find a place to be settled within our lives, but he just doesn't feel welcome. And when we look at our country, do you think Christ feels welcome? When you look at some of the decisions that we have made as a nation, when you look at some of the politics that go on, when you look at what's happened to the family, when we look at what's happened with values, when we look at so much that has gone on in this country There's so much that is very right, don't get me wrong, but so much that is not. You think Christ says, wow, I really feel at home. Where is God? Where is Christ in your life, in your family, in our country? Who is governing our country and our soul? Who is it?